Hello, hello, and welcome to On The Reg Podcast. My name is Reggie. I'm here today with Dwight Bolden. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dwight. I really appreciate it. Why don't you tell the people about who you are? I know we talked, but it's been a minute. So yeah. Why don't you reintroduce yourself to the people?
Got you. So my name is Dwight Bolden II. So go by the Zodiac Custom, owner of the Zodiac Custom. And the Zodiac Custom is streetwear. It's handmade designer streetwear. And I make it out of, I'd say, emotion expressed through design. So, and I take a lot of the inspiration I get for the garments and the pieces that I make from the environment that I'm in. So, yeah.
Word. So I had the pleasure of walking in the fashion show that you did very recently. When was that? That was
July 30th.
Yeah. Wonderful turnout. Really great time. Met some great people. The energy was live that night. Like, it was live. People are still talking about it. And I'm not just saying that because I was a part of it, but it really was a moment because it kind of just like reset some things that were happening in Springfield. And it was really dope to be a part of something like that. Tell us about how that came together, like the vision. Like,
Well, since I guess my very first fashion show, I always, like, after being in one fashion show in college and being featured in it, I wanted to have my own, and I wanted to see it at the scale that I see the people that I critique, not really critique, but really learn about fashion from through like YouTube or watching videos and things like that. So really just trying to get it on that scale, but in my own image, you know what I'm saying? And not only in my own image, but being able to help other people along the way and bring those people together and get those connections and really bring a positive energy to, you know, the event and the people in the event and the area. You know, that's the most important part.
And it definitely shows just by the community connections that you have. It wasn't just like, I mean, of course, we were all models, you know, and I use that in quotes because models, but we all were various different walks of life, different ages, you know, a relatively kind of close in age, but still different ages and phases of our life. And I think that's really important to have that representation across the board whenever you're talking about, you know, who gets to wear what. It isn't just about, oh, this person looks good in it, because it's more than that. How do you wear the clothes? How do you feel in the clothes? And you made us feel real good. And I appreciate that so much. I guess you said that you've done fashion shows. This isn't your first one. And the last one that I was at was at the Meet the Creator series. And that was a dope night. That was a really dope night. But since then, you've done a couple more fashion shows and you've been putting stuff out, and it's been major. How does it feel to have your work out there?
It's so crazy because it's not, that's like a very, like, you know, like that iceberg that the Titanic hit. Mm-hmm. Like, you're in the iceberg's bottom part right now.
And that's crazy to me because it's like, you know, I'm sure that there's so much time and effort that goes in to designing and conceptualizing a piece. And that's just like the design, you know, that's, you know, the
top level. That's the top level stuff. The design, what everybody sees is literally just the top level. Like, mm-hmm. There's so much behind the scenes from like the marketing, the promotion, the creation, the production. Like, it's real. It's levels deep. It's levels deep. Mm.
So, you being, you know, from the Midwest, right? You're from the Midwest. I just want to make sure that I got this right. You being from the Midwest and a Black man, is there anything that you saw in the fashion industry that kind of just made you like, oh, I want to do this because X, Y, Z? Whether it's like, I want to do this because I don't feel like I'm accurately seeing streetwear the way that I would wear streetwear, or I want to do this because, you know, this designer and that designer inspired me to just dream of a piece, and now it just comes naturally to me.
Right. So me just being born in the 90s, I saw a lot of raw streetwear. I saw the beginning of streetwear. Like I know streetwear started in the 80s, but in the 90s is when the culture really got a good hold of it.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So just seeing that aspect and then seeing where definitely like clothes have gone, it's gone a different route than what I would have taken in. You know, kudos to those people. But that's not, I'm more of a traditional streetwear, like, you know, t-shirts, jeans, things like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Things that are it's binary to everybody. Anybody can wear, much like a lot of the stuff in the early 2000s, 90s, and right. even a little bit going into 2010. You know what I'm saying?
True.
And, you know, it was a very easy way for everybody to dress. It was comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody had your own style, but now it's kind of like gotten to, I'd say fashion in general has kind of gotten outrageous. Like, would you really be seen wearing, like, first off, where are you going to get this? And a lot of those pieces that those people make are literally just for famous people.
Right.
So you're never going to see it.
Right.
And if you did, it's out of your tax bracket.
Right. That's so true, you know. And in the age of Instagram and social media, everybody wants to have an aesthetic that is curated and digestible for the public, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And while it's great to have designer wear, a lot of it is not accessible. It's not.
No.
And I do appreciate the streetwear in general, but also the streetwear that you produce, because not only is it accessible, but it's fly as hell. Like, it really is something that, like, I can throw on and I'm like, you know, I feel good. I feel like that dude. I also have like this just leisurely approach to wearing things. And to have a designer and a set of clothing that complements that is super important, because that plays into your self-esteem.
Definitely. And that's the thing where it comes about putting the emotion into the design. Each of the pieces that I make, hand cut and sew, are either one of one or two of one, because it's coming from like the same type of material.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really an individualized piece made only by me. Mm. Like what I'm saying, like, it's like I have, when I'm creating things, I'm like, I'm in the mode, I'm in the mood, and I'm making it happen, and I'm putting everything into the things I'm creating. And it's like, I see it before I actually create it. So it's like, to me, it's already been made.
I love that. You know, and gosh, there's so many things that we could touch on with this topic, because streetwear has always been influential to the culture from its very first introduction, whether it's been through FUBU or Dapper Dan or Misa Hylton, like all of these people that created these looks and I don't want to call them costumes, but in a sense, it was something that like was an extended piece of a persona.
Yeah.
Even if it was for celebrity, that still left such an impact on the culture that it's impossible to deny its influence. I take a lot of influence from, or a lot of inspiration from, Living Single with clothing. On some days where I'm like, I'm just trying to be real, real comfortable, I might dress like Overton, you know, some slightly baggy things, some jeans, and just, you know, call it good. But every now and again, I'll switch it up and I'll get my Kyle Barker on, and you exactly. might see some vintage shirts and a lot of gaudy accessories, but it all works out and it completes the look in a way that, you know, is an accurate representation of who I am. And I think that's super important when you talk about identity.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm trying to collect my thoughts. It's so many things. So where do you see fashion going? Like, if you were to take, if you had full control over the horse and the cart, where would you take it? Like,
man, it would go back. I'm really big on, I'd say, the basics. T-shirt, some jeans, hoodie, mm-hmm. shoes to match with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. the whole fit, like top to bottom, the accessories even, like hats. But it's like, it can't be forced. Like if I was instead of selling my customs, and if I were just to wear my customs, y'all be like, dude, where are you getting these clothes from?
Right, right.
You feel me? Like, but I, it's, it go in a direction of being able to be worn by anybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Children, women, boys, men, like off of one piece,
mm-hmm.
fitting every single person.
Right.
And it's just like, man, every single person is going to look good in it.
Right, right. And that is something that I think a lot of people are sort of striving towards, is clothing that isn't necessarily gender specific,
mm-hmm.
but it's still an accurate representation of how they feel in the morning.
Yes.
You know?
And that's what the clothing is. The clothing, it speaks to you when you have it on. You know, it's like, it's literally saying how you feel. You wouldn't put it on if you didn't feel like this piece of clothing. 100% you wouldn't put it on.
Right, right. That's so true. And I think that's another reason why people are starting to stray away from really specific and really constrictive clothing.
Yeah.
You know, people like Billie Eilish, I mean, she switched up her aesthetic too. But when she was wearing baggy clothes, that was a commentary for her to not have people looking at her body. And I think that's mm-hmm. really important. You know, you say, this is the self that I'm presenting to you, and I want you to see what I allow you to see. Mm-hmm. It
reminds me, which exactly what you're saying, like, you know, the baggy clothes of Billie Eilish, like the same thing with Kanye in the mask. Like,
yeah.
it takes Kanye away from the subject, and now you're only allowed to look at his music.
Right.
You know,
right.
He's not even talking. You ain't seen the man's face in like months. Like, that's crazy. He's taking all the attention away from Kanye West, so still having the attention on Kanye West, but not Kanye West, the album.
Right. Right. And you know what? In part, the aesthetic of Kanye is always separated from Kanye himself.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, that mask is another layer. It's another separation. And it's inviting you to take the art more seriously. And fashion is an art. Fashion is something that translates stories and can really make or break the visual representation of the message.
Exactly. I'm not even gonna lie, like, Kanye is one of my biggest influences, him and a few other people who are in the fashion industry. You know, I like the way they go about things, but it's not like I'm finna do this just like Kanye West. Like, no, I'm gonna do my research.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm gonna research different people. Like, for instance, the reason why Kanye wears that mask is literally because of I think it was Mason Margiela. And I think he had the mask in one of his fashion shows back when he was first doing fashion. And it was like, it was groundbreaking for high fashion.
Mm.
And it took away like the aesthetic of having a supermodel, mm-hmm. and turned it to the attention of only having the clothes be shown, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't matter who's walking, their face is covered.
Right.
You only see the clothes.
It's easy to be superficial in this industry. And to get caught up in the looks and the brand and the cost and completely miss the message, completely miss the point of the collection.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that however you can get people to hone in on the details or the whole package.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's like just the how they operate, you know, I'm seeing how these people in high fashion operate, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm a streetwear designer. I design streetwear,
mm-hmm.
not high fashion suits and ties and dresses and all that stuff. Even though I probably could, that's not what I like to do. I like
sure.
to make streetwear, and you know, I'm not trying to, you know, knock anybody over the head with prices or anything, but
right.
you're gonna pay for what it was worth for me to make that by hand,
yeah,
from my mind.
And that is something that we should definitely take stock in, because fast fashion has taken over the entire world.
Exactly. Just, oh yeah, I'm just gonna get this and make this. And mm-hmm. now I'm a designer, quote unquote. Like, no, bro, no. There's milestones to you have to achieve and do mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. things to learn and continue learning. Like,
right.
It's ridiculous.
Well, even with brands like ASOS and Boohoo, you know, Shine, these companies make money by mass producing pieces of clothing or artwork, whatever it may be. But a lot of times they rip off designers.
And they don't do nothing for the community in a single aspect.
Yep.
At all, ever.
Yeah. And I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it.
Everybody is.
You know, I've definitely bought things from ASOS. Hell, I've bought t-shirts from Walmart, bro.
Exactly.
You know, but at the end of the day, when I really want something that is curated, it's better for me to go to a designer or a small business and then really just tap into a wave that resonates with me.
Exactly.
And I want more people to do that for the simple fact that fast fashion is wasteful. Like, there's so many materials that are used and a lot of them are thrown out. And on top of that, you got people, usually kids, working overseas in sweatshops.
Yeah.
So this is a way to make our fashion choices more ethical and ecological.
Yes, definitely. 100%, because it's just, I mean, even a lot of things I get, I try and get from like thrift stores or right. or I'll go to a vintage seller, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or just even going out and finding it myself, even people I know, you know, this and this, that makes it even better because now it's classic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're never going to find this
yep.
again.
Yep.
And I even if I do wholesale order something like some blank t-shirts or something, mm-hmm. I always try and go American made. You know, made in the USA is the term that they say on the back of the on the tag sure. of the shirt.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, you know, it costs a little bit more, mm-hmm. but you know, it's for a good cause.
Right. You're pouring that money back into the community. And I think that's really, really important. Speaking of pouring back into the community, I have noticed that you have been well, first off, you've been grinding, you've been doing the thing. But the last event that I was at was the Intricate Flow pop-up shop, which shout out to Tierra. She's doing yeah. her thing on South Grand, on, you know, making Southtown. I don't want to say relevant, but she's boosting it. And I mm-hmm. really appreciate that because, you know, the East Side is predominantly where Black people are.
Definitely.
And a lot of times people look at that side and don't really see the potential, but there's a lot of gems there. There's a lot of diamonds in and out of the rough on that side. And we just don't get the showcase time.
Right.
And I really love that you've been linking with her because she's on her shit with the Intricate Flow stuff and Intricate everything. She's working with business partners and local poets and musicians that are starting up, and I really appreciate it because it's all love. We all are connecting and really just putting each other on. That's what that's all about.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's what we got to do as artists, you know, because there's not a lot of, you know, genuine artists out there. And for somebody to come out of their shell and perform or create, mm-hmm. you know, it takes a lot. So it's like these people need our support and they need like-minded individuals to be on their side.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, because there's strength in numbers.
Yep. Could have said it better myself, man. Because, you know, real talk, creatives all interact with each other. You know, even if we're talking about an album, you know, you need a producer, you need some writers, you need some singers, background vocalists, et cetera, blase, skip.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take it further than that, you know, to put out a music video, you need a costumer or a I don't want to call him personal shop. Someone to handle the aesthetics. You need somebody.
Oh, you need a whole team.
Trust me.
Like the fashion show was a big step for me from my last one that I had here in Springfield. And like without my team, my director, Jazlyn, she's my fiance.
Congratulations.
Thank you,
I'm
sir.
I'm gonna say it on wax because it deserves.
And then Mariah as his assistant director, and then head photographer, head models, just mm-hmm. people even coming from the outside, our sponsors, like it took a lot to make that happen. It was not an easy feat, and it definitely could not have been achieved by myself.
Sure. But man, what a beautiful thing to have it come together and then to be like, you know, we all eaten. Like that was major. People were able to really be a part of something special and be compensated in a way that showed appreciation. Like the clothes that I left with, I was like, I'm definitely like, I'm glad that I got these. I've had to snag these, you know, and I really do appreciate you having that available for the models, because it just solidified
The
experience.
We worked for like 6 weeks. We worked for a month on that. True. You know, two times a week, you know, for 6 weeks straight.
Yeah. But you know what? It's crazy because coming on the other side of that, I'm a theater person. So, you know, mm-hmm. We put in months and months of work, and sometimes we're there like 5 times a week and then we don't really come away with anything except for the experience and a DVD that we paid for, you know.
Right.
But to have people really see where you're coming from and say, no, I want you to be a part of this, and I'm willing to give you something in exchange, you know, however small or large it may be, that shows value. And I appreciate that.
I mean, that's just my biggest thing. Just being an artist and a creator myself, like everybody should be compensated with their time, with money, and a good experience. Cause there's like, you can't waste time, you know, you Shout waste time.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be out of luck. You know what I'm saying? Right. But you know, if you compensate somebody for their time, treat them the right way, is like, you know, how you would want to be treated if you were in that same position, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody got paid and, to the according of work that they put in,
yeah.
you know, and that's however much work they put in. But it's like, you know what I'm saying? That's a motivator.
Right.
If you tell me, oh yeah, you do this and you'll get this and a bonus. What? And
right.
it's like, you know, that's a motivator. And that's, I'm a competitor at heart. So I like to see people compete.
Right.
Play basketball. I'm a coach. You know, I love competition. So that's just like something I try and it keeps things healthy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Healthy competition. And not only between what I'm doing in mine, you know, with anybody else that's out there doing the same thing. Like it's healthy competition in all aspects, because that's how you get better.
True, 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 true. Do you think that that sense of competition has helped you in envisioning the pieces that you create? Like, does that competition play into the collection at all? Like when you get ready to drop something?
Oh yeah. I mean, like, Jazz would say like, oh yeah, you look at other people's stuff too much, like, and sometimes it at certain aspects it does get intimidating, but in the past that was my problem. Now it's more of a problem of, okay, you need to sit down and create some things. Like I have more than enough references to be like, okay, I know what to do, and I have more than enough skill to do it. It's more about how I want it to look and the message I want to put out through it, because it's not about how these other people are doing it. It's about mm-hmm. how I want to do it.
Right.
You know, it's my time to go out and do these things and become one of those people. You know what I'm saying? And just the vision and the message I want to push with it, you know, mm-hmm. is the biggest part. And the aesthetic too. And just like, so I'm a Cancer.
Okay.
So everything is emotion.
Sure.
When you leave or wearing one of my clothes, you will feel that emotion, whatever emotion it will be, you know, you're going to feel it. You come to an event, you're going to feel the vibe.
True.
Like there's no other, like you're going to wish you were there. You're going to see, people are going to see the recap video. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And be like, dang, I wish I was there. Cause
yeah,
it's like,
gonna be salty when they see
be like, dang, I can't even, it's not even it. I got to come to the next one.
Right.
It's like,
whenever it is, I'm like lurking for the tickets.
Exactly.
Like, yeah,
and
what's
it's
going
like
on?
All the VIPs got they got exclusive access to when the tickets come out. So when
that's
that does happen,
dope.
And of course all the models do too, you know, you're all gonna be able to, if you're not in it, you know what I'm saying, or
yeah.
however it's happening, it's gonna be big, and it's gonna be bigger than the last one, you know.
Yeah,
it's gonna be way bigger than the last one.
Yeah. And baby, that was so cold. Like I can't express how much fun. Like, I know it was like stressful putting it together, you know, because you want everything to be perfect. Mm-hmm. But like, once the lights were on and we was like, oh no, it was over. It was over. And it was such a vibe because not only were we prepared and we were, you know, dressed to the nines, but also the audience was really feeling the clothing, the energy, the walk, everything. And yeah, an event like that is a total package. People may think like, oh, you know, I'm just going to go see some clothes or whatever, but it's more than that.
No, it's,
you know,
way more than that.
It's an entire experience that really can't be put into words accurately. Like,
exactly. Yeah. And that's another thing, like just being in Springfield, I'm trying to, and like being raised in Springfield, I'm really just trying to like bring that energy here, because it's like there's so much talent. It's here. I just got to make it happen.
Right.
And it's like every time I do it, I'm just trying to show y'all like I can really make this happen. Mm-hmm. Like, do y'all want to join? Or I mean, right. If you don't, I'm just going to keep making that happen regardless. Yep. So, I mean, but like I said, strength in numbers. Exactly. And it's like, I'm not a hater of anybody. I'm more than welcome to help make it happen. You know, mm-hmm. We just got to meet and greet and talk.
Right.
And see what we're both trying to head. But it's like, I have a vision and it's on a grand scale. Mm. And like, I don't even know where it stops, but I know what I see. Like, I just see it in my head. Like, it doesn't come from me. God gives me the ability to do all these things. Mm-hmm. I don't do any of this myself. It's not like I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go. No, I just see it in my head and then it happens.
Right.
Or it's for somebody, you know, God speaks in many different ways, mm-hmm. especially to me. So it's just like, I'm listening and I go and do it.
Come
you know
on,
what
somebody.
I'm saying? That's all I can do.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that, because I definitely, you know, I believe God, source, however you want to refer to it, does give you inspiration, messages, warnings, as long as you're willing to like tune into it.
100%.
And art is always, how do I say this? Art is about attunement and tuning in and really finding and refining, mm-hmm. Those messages, those bits of inspiration, whatever it is, you know, and turning it into something tangible.
Exactly, that part.
Yeah. Because it's nothing if you just like, oh, you know, I have the inspiration and it's like out in the world floating somewhere, but like it's not actually concrete. You
right.
know, you can't feel it, you can't touch it, you can't wear
Man,
it, you can't eat it.
Like, I see, like, it's not just the finished product I see. I see how I'm going to create it. Mm. Like, I see every aspect of it. So
down to the packaging and the presentation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, and I see it in my head and I try and go and make it as best as I can in my reality. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. like if you really think about it, like that's the same way planes are built, houses are built, mathematics are done.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It happens in your head and it's up to you if you're going to make it happen in real life.
True.
You know, but it has to be down to like the energy you even put into it, because it's like if you don't got the right energy, you know, it's not going to happen.
Speaking of energy, when you look for partnerships or people that you want to work with, or, you know, collaborations, is there a certain type of energy or attitude that you seek out to work with people? Like, and you know, this isn't necessarily related to just, you know, the Zodiac customs, mm-hmm. but just in general on the creative side, when you seek to work with people or to you know, strengthen numbers,
right,
what type of energy do you want on your team?
Well, it depends on which front I'm fighting. You know, each person, I wouldn't say I wouldn't want to work with anybody. Each person has a suit that they can be tailored to, most definitely.
Okay.
And then cohesion is always it is a must. Like, for example, mm-hmm. we had good cohesion in the fashion show between 22 models.
Right.
No, not a single problem.
Yep.
Six a whole month, not a single problem between 22 adults.
That was great. Like, I had such a great experience, and it's weird because like I am typically I bounce back and forth. I'm such an ambivert. Like, there are days where you know, I might be a little bit manic, but I'm super extroverted. I feel like conversing with people. I want to get out and just like share, like, you know, let's exchange. Mm-hmm. And then there's other days where I'm like, oh, I just need to recharge. I don't want to be by nobody. Like, my cat can't even touch me. He has to be like right next to me or just over, you know?
Yeah.
And coming in there, I definitely had days where I was like, oh, I'm high, but oh, I'm kind of low. And everybody's energy just brought me to a place where I was comfortable. And I was like, it is so refreshing to be around people that are positive, energetic, creative, but also like really beautiful people inside and out.
Oh, yeah. And then there was a, even with that aspect, there was a whole everybody got an interview.
Yeah.
I interviewed each person myself because that's the, if you don't know me, now you do. I'm an in-person. If you want to get something done with me, you need to sit down in my face and we need to make it happen.
Yep.
Because I don't like trying to get things done through text messages. Things can be misperceived. I don't like trying to do things over the phone for real because mm-hmm. things can still be misconceived.
Yep.
It's like, if you're in person, I can see the vibe. You can feel the vibe. You can see how I'm coming. I can see how you're coming. Period. Most importantly.
Yeah.
And I can be I can have that good judgment on, okay, is this person who I need, you know, to make this happen, and can we be good for each other, not just right. on my part? Because it's like, if I can help in any type of way, I mean, you're helping me, why not help you? But it's like, it has to be a two-way street, and there has to be understanding and communication, and most importantly, cohesion.
Man, you better say that.
Like, you better say that. Gotta have it.
Is there anybody that you're just like, I really rock with what they do, and if I had the chance to, I would definitely work with them?
And that's really a hard one, because there's so many with the people who I'm influenced by. I'm gonna just throw out like three. So there's like Heron Preston,
mm-hmm.
There's Virgil Abloh,
mm-hmm.
and there's Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of those guys do different things,
right?
You know what I'm saying? There's another guy up in Chicago. He's up and coming. He's on like this HBO show. He's called Justin Mensinger. Amazing customs, but mm-hmm. me and him don't do the same exact thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like each of these people all do different things, and it's hard to be like, man, because it's like I got a vision board with some of these people on it, and it's like they're all different aspects mm-hmm. of what they do, and they're proficient in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if I had the chance to work with anybody, it'd definitely be Kanye, just to see how he's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I watch Virgil's interviews and things, and he has a lot of them. Kanye, on the other hand, it's different when you're in person.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people are down there in a stadium, you know, in a room.
Right.
In a room listening to this album with him. Like, it has to be something different about being in person with Kanye,
right,
than all these other people.
And you know, it's really interesting that you bring that up, because you know, with lockdown happening for damn near a year, you know, our in-person efforts were halted. and it really kind of flipped the script of what we could do, what would be accessible, and what we were willing to sacrifice in order to make it work.
Right.
But yet and still, I have to say that while there's been really great art that has come out of this whole process, it almost feels like not hollow.
It's saturated.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saturated. They ain't really put in the work. Like, they don't like this is my honest opinion on just things in general. If you don't want to do it, if it's not your natural calling, do not do it. Do whatever is being called to you to do. Let it be athletics, let it be artistic stuff, let it be, you know, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Education, you know what I'm saying? Do what makes you happy. A lot of these people aren't doing what makes them happy. I do what I do because it makes me happy. I mm-hmm. love the reactions I get from people. I love the looks on the faces. I love the energy I feel from the things that I'm doing. Let it be if I'm hooping, because I guarantee I'm the most athletic
designer that you know. Let it be if I'm making clothes, you know what I'm saying? Let it be if I'm teaching children, you know what I'm saying? Coaching, any of that. Like, I love what I do. I'm not doing nothing that I don't want to do besides paying overpriced bills. And that's everybody. We got to do that one. But besides that, I'm doing the most of the things that I love to do. And if I died the next day, I'd be happy because I was able to do the things that make me happy and brought good energy to the people around me.
Man, I love that. And what you said about, you know, doing what you love, that really resonates with me because we're sold this idea of the American dream. And, you know, that doesn't exist unless you make it exist.
Right.
And it's so easy to get caught in a 9-to-5 and, you know, I get it. And, if you got to work the 9-to-5, do the 9-to-5 to
make it happen for you, you know?
But also do what makes you happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That part. Because if you're not doing what makes you happy, you're just going to be toxic at the end. That's the short, long story short.
True.
Just toxic because you upset about your circumstances. And when you could have done something about it and you damn near still can.
Right.
You know, it's up to you.
Yes.
It's free will.
Right. Okay. Let me ask you this, and this is going to be a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see yourself or the Zodiac Customs in 5 years?
5 years. 5 years, I see myself having fashion shows in main cities, Chicago, Indianapolis, St. Louis, Atlanta. Trying to think of a few other places.
Dallas,
Houston. Of course, I'm gonna definitely try and hit them. I haven't been to Houston before, so I need to go to Houston.
Year, so.
But you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to hit like that central, that Midwest, that real Midwestern type of, you know, not far. I mean, I'd love to go out to LA and do things. I've been to LA before, and they have their own status structure for how they do fashion in LA.
Really?
And they have their own status and structure for how they do fashion in New York. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah.
To me personally, what I see when I look at the demographics of everything, Midwest is just kind of like, So it's like, if I can bring this vibe I'm making here in good old Springfield and take it to, you know, because we're the capital, take it to Chicago. And I've already ventured up there one time at a fashion show.
Yep.
Was featured in somebody's fashion show. Now it's time to have my own.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's time to elaborate in these different places and really push that influence and work with these people in these different places. Because it's like, if you can do it at home, and I know a lot of people say, oh, home is where the hate is. And you might be right on that one.
Really?
You might be right. They had a whole song about it. That home is where the hate. What is his name? What was his name? It's an old song.
That don't work for me.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people don't like to stay home because they feel like, you know, they ain't do nothing for me when I was here.
Mm.
I want to change that perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you can get the people at home to mess with you, where technically the hate is, I don't really see it. But, you know, everybody has their own opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you can bring it to where home is, get the people who don't, you know, those people, it should be easy to go anywhere else and get somebody else to mess with you.
That's true.
It'd be easy as pie. Yeah.
But you know what? It's crazy to me because, like, somebody is always going to have something to say. They may not be a hater per se, but, you know, people always going to have their own opinion.
If it's not positive, what is it?
Unimportant. That's how I feel, like, you know.
Exactly.
But you know, constructive criticism has its place,
definitely.
But if you just yapping to be yakking, then it's just hot air.
Feel the vibe off of that. You know, when people talking hot air, you can feel the vibe.
Yeah, you true.
You ain't gotta say nothing. You just look at them like, I know how.
But I use that. Me personally, I try to use that as fuel to get me to the next, because like, I might be like feeling a way and somebody will say something that I don't like, and I'll be like, oh, okay, bet, I'm finna prove you wrong.
Yeah.
But back to what you said about home is where the hate is. That's crazy to me, because if you can't go anywhere, you should always be able to go home. And me personally, I don't want to dwell in no place where there's nothing but hate. Right. But in order to give love or to get love, you have to give love. And that's why we do what we do in regards to our community, because we have a love for the people around us, and we would love to see them successful and to move forward and to really just make a better way for themselves.
Exactly. And what a lot of people don't understand is energy is energy, mm-hmm. regardless of how it comes. Yep. So hate me or love me, you're sending that energy my way, and I am going to put it, I'm going to receive it, mm-hmm. and I'm going to put it back out, and I'm going to put it into a use that I want to.
Right.
Versus a use that is, you know, just at the end of the day, negative. I'm just going to turn it into some clothes.
Transmutation. Alchemy. If you
feel me, you gonna hate on me, it's okay. Yeah. If you gonna mess with me, it's okay.
Right.
I'm going to put that into myself, and I'm going to put it out through these clothes.
Yep. Emotion.
Yep.
Emotion. Yeah. You know what I'm trying to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, I got you.
Oh man. So do you have any advice? I try to wrap this up with this question, because I want people to be able to receive something in every conversation that's had. But advice for people listening who may want to get involved in fashion or just want to learn more about finding the clothes that make them feel like themselves.
This is just the personal one that I do, but I look at things that I liked when I was younger. You know what I'm saying? So, me personally, I don't like baggy clothes a lot of the time, because when I was younger, I was a skinny kid. So they always had the big clothes.
Yep.
But it's like, I like big t-shirts now because I don't like my top part feeling tight because of, you know what I'm saying?
Broad shoulders too. You want things.
Yeah, a box fit. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, just be you. You know, that's the easiest way. If you see something and you like it, and you honestly mess with it, and you know how you're going to put it together. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, I got the shoes. I got the hat. And, you know, bring the energy with it. Regardless of what you're wearing, just bring the energy with it. You know, just be you. That is the, in every aspect, be you. Mm-hmm. You know, just be honest. Like, and then, like, if somebody tell you something, and of course it can't just be like anybody saying, oh, yeah, bro, that look crazy. But it's like, for instance, if your significant other says, hey, I don't think that looks, and you really value their opinion on fashion. Like, my mom says, oh, that doesn't look good all the time to me when I was in high school. Mm. But it's like, I'll go out and I'll get compliments. So it's like, okay, if my mom says she doesn't like it, that means it's a hit. You feel me?
Right.
But
right.
If, like, if Jazz says, oh yeah, I don't think that really looks good, or something seems kind of off about that, you know, really, I'll take it into consideration, and I'll be like, okay, let me look at this and make sure. And it's like, okay, do I see what she's seeing? And that's perspective and being able to listen,
right,
you know, to the right people.
Exactly.
You can't just be hard-headed. I ain't never just hard-headed, just do everything myself. Like, no, you got to have somebody else's opinion, or you're a dictator. And I don't want to be no dictator. Usually don't end out well for those guys,
right? Yeah. Wow. This was good. And I really appreciate it. I think a lot of people are going to appreciate just being able to listen to the process, and then just the advice, because a lot of people want to be individuals, but don't necessarily know how to be an individual because they've always been a part of a collective. And I think we're getting to a point where people can step a little bit outside of that group mentality, and still, you know, have independent thinking, have independent ways of stylizing themselves, and in a way that's comfortable to their individuality, but still be a part of a group, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's easy to do. You know, you just got to find your tribe. That's all.
Yeah.
But you got to be you first. Can't be fake.
Right. Because if you're an imposter,
you're gonna be hanging out with the fakers.
Baby.
Y'all gonna be faking it right there, like fake kicking it. I'll be over there.
And
really,
who wants
it
to do that? Who got time for that?
Exactly.
All right, White. Thank you so much. This was good. I really appreciate it. And to all the listeners out there, thank you so much for giving us your time and lending us your ears. Dwight, do you have any social media that you want to put out to folks?
Yeah, definitely. Follow me on Instagram. That will really make it happen. I love everybody on Facebook. Thank y'all for your support. For real. You want to find some of the merch? It's on www.thezodiaccustoms.com. Okay.
The Zodiac Custom Instagram is Zodiac_custom. That's ZODIAC_CUSTOM.
All right, folks, this is it. Until next time, we'll holler at you later. Peace.